Broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University, this is WSDL Ocean City 90.7 FM. It's time now for Delmarva Today with your host, Don Rush.
The Chesapeake Bay has been put on a pollution diet by the federal government, and it calls for significant investment by local governments for infrastructure. But around a half a dozen counties are pushing back, pointing to the Conowingo Dam as a key source of pollution in the bay. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. The counties of Allegheny, Caroline, Carroll, Cecil, Dorchester, and Frederick have formed a group called the TMDL Coalition. Now, TMDL, by the way, stands for Total Maximum Daily Load. That is for the amount of pollution that is allowed into the bay. And it is represented by the Maryland law firm of Funk & Bolton. And in our studio is Chip McCloud. He is an attorney with the firm. In addition, for the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, is the Eastern Shore Director, Alan Gerard. And welcome to the program.
Thank you for having
us.
Well, Chip, I want to start with you, and just briefly, what are your concerns about the pollution diet and the kinds of things that local governments are now being asked to do in order to clean up the bay?
All right, Don. Again, thank you for having us, and I just want to clarify one thing. The coalition of counties that we represent now is called the Clean Chesapeake Coalition.
Wow, okay.
But you're right. There was a time in the evolution of this coalition that we referred to it as the TMDL Coalition, and actually, before we called it the TMDL Coalition, it was the WHIP Coalition, because this all started, this coalition of Maryland local governments started with Dorchester County, which is a county government we represent. And when the county council of Dorchester County was confronted with the projected cost of their local watershed implementation plan, which they were mandated to do by the state of Maryland, the price tag was quite steep. And when they were experiencing that sticker shock, and thinking this is a large commitment for our local taxpayers, they started questioning, what are the programs we're being asked to fund? Will they in fact make a difference, a meaningful difference in the water quality of the Chesapeake Bay? Where is this mandate coming from? And they asked us to look into that for them. And when we did, and we realized everything was tied to what you referred to as the TMDL, this pollution diet that was set by EPA in 2010, they asked us to talk to other local governments in Maryland and see if they share the same concerns about the very large cost of these environmental mandates and questioning whether they were really going to make a meaningful difference. In other words, are the local taxpayers really going to get a bang for their buck? And we've done an extensive amount of research. We've read a considerable amount of the studies that have been done since Hurricane Agnes, which was really the beginning of a steep decline for the quality of the water quality of Chesapeake Bay. And what these counties have come to realize, based on a lot of the research we've done, is that we seem to have lost sight of the big picture of what's going on with the Chesapeake Bay. We've gotten way down in the weeds about sort of what locally we need to do to improve water quality, and a lot of that's very helpful. But when you step back and look at what's happening, particularly at the Conowingo Dam, and really when you talk about the Conowingo Dam, you're really talking about what's happening above the Conowingo, what's happening in the Susquehanna River. And because that's 50% of the fresh water to the bay comes from the Susquehanna River, therefore, just from pure common sense, half the pollution is coming down to Susquehanna. It's actually worse because the Susquehanna is so polluted. But what's making matters worse is that the reservoir that above the Conowingo Dam is full. And by full, you got to think of it this way. The Conowingo Dam has been serving as a trap of sediment and pollution for 84 years. It's been a gift to the Chesapeake Bay. It's the largest stormwater management pond in the whole bay watershed. And anybody that understands pollution control and the bay will know that when you have a stormwater management pond, if it's full, it's not functioning. It's not doing what it was intended to do. And that's what's happening at the Conowingo now. The reservoirs are full, and the amount of pollution that's coming down the Susquehanna and damaging the bay is extreme. And we the counties think that we need to pay attention to the single largest source of pollution before we continue to get pushed down into the weeds with very expensive pollution reduction activities while we're ignoring a very large one. And the activity, we think the number one critical activity to help the bay now is focusing on the dredging of the Conowingo Reservoir, Because that'll have the most immediate impact on the bay.
Let me ask you, in terms of costs, because you mentioned, for instance, Dorchester County, what kinds of costs do you see these counties saying they're going to be incurring if they comply or if they carry out all these investments that people are now talking about?
Well, you have to look at what the state mandated the counties to do. They said all of you are going to do a local watershed implementation plan. And when you do it, here's what we want you to focus on: regulating septics, regulating stormwater, improving wastewater treatment plants, okay, some ag, but local governments have no control over agriculture. That's federal and state. So the way the state of Maryland prescribed the local WIPs, when people started putting price tags on them, they were high. I mean, Dorchester County's WIP came in with a price tag of $89 million or something. Their annual budget is 60, 70. Cecil County's local watershed implementation plan came in with a price tag of $600 million with an annual budget of $60 million. So they started saying, what are we spending this money on? And let me give you an example of at the state level. The state's watershed implementation plan focuses on septics, stormwater, wastewater treatment plants primarily. Let's take septics. The state plan says we're going to spend $3.7 billion regulating septic systems over till the year 2025. That's a lot of money, $3.7 billion. And you know how much pollution that's going to reduce? 620 tons of nitrogen will be kept out of the water based on that expenditure. No reduction in phosphorus, no reduction in sediment. And yet, at the Conowingo, during a storm event in 2011, when Tropical Storm Lee came through, the Susquehanna River and what was scoured through the over the Conowingo Dam, 42,000 tons of nitrogen. So let's just keep that in mind. A single storm event dumped 42,000 tons of nitrogen into the bay. And then we pass a law and commit Maryland taxpayers to spend $3.7 billion to regulate septics to keep 620 tons a year. Those numbers don't add up. From a taxpayer point of view and a bang for your buck, that doesn't make sense, that we're spending a lot of money on a small source and we're ignoring one of the largest sources.
Alan, I want to go to you, and I want to first, before we get to the dam, I want to sort of address the cost issue in terms of are these cost projections realistic? If so, are they well worth it? Because as Chip is suggesting, well, we're putting all this money into this, but maybe obviously he feels that we aren't getting the bang for the buck. But secondly, are these the kinds of costs that these counties are going to be incurring?
Sure. Yeah, and I think it's important to sort of, you know, put this conversation in context. You know, a lot of this work related to bay restoration dates way back to 1972, when a bipartisan Congress with a Republican president passed the Clean Water Act. And the Clean Water Act essentially said, you know, look, we got to look at the nation's waterways. We have to evaluate whether they are impaired for pollution. And if they're impaired for pollution, it's incumbent on the federal government to require the states to put in plans to address that impairment, you know, for various types of pollution, nitrogen, phosphorus, others. Progress had been made since 1972 to, you know, address impairments in the bay, but that progress has been modest. We estimate that we're actually about 50% towards the goal of bay restoration that we're currently under operating under. So the Bay Foundation and others were frustrated, encouraged by the modest progress, but frustrated that we haven't made more. So in 2008, we sued the Environmental Protection Agency, and we said, you know, look, you have a responsibility on the Clean Water Act to, under your own authority that exists in law, to implement the Clean Water Act, to address these impairments and ask the states to put in plans to address them. And in a settlement agreement that was reached, it was agreed that, yes, the Environmental Protection Agency has that authority. Yes, we will require the states to put together plans. And it's interesting, you know, the federal government didn't say, thou shalt do this number of activities with these costs associated. They said, you know, the states and local governments know best. Let the states develop the plans that are appropriate and informed by local government decision makers, stakeholders, others that can, you know, really make sure the right solutions come to bear. So that's exactly what is going on in Maryland. That's what's known as the WIP, the Watershed Implementation Plan. There is a state state plan. Maryland was very proactive in developing that plan by reaching out to counties and saying, you know, locals know best. One size does not fit all. We want your input and advice into developing the strategies to deal with all sources of pollution. You know, this is not just the dam, or it's not just agricultural runoff. It's all sources: septic systems, centralized wastewater treatment, stormwater runoff. All of those contribute pollution to the bay. There is a responsibility among us as citizens of the bay watershed to ensure that all of those sources of pollution are addressed. Now, you know, the coalition, you know, makes some comments related to, well, you know, look, the state government has said that we want this to be fair and equitable regardless of cost. And, you know, our response to that is, why should we leave one pollution source off the hook? We are in the early stages of implementing this plan. There are no specific requirements to meet certain pollution targets that the federal government has permit authority over. Just a few of them. Some jurisdictions have stormwater requirements. There is a combined animal feeding operation requirement, and there are permits for centralized wastewater treatment. Those are the only permitted sources that the federal government has oversight for. The rest of them, the state has said, you know, look, let's partner with local government and put in a plan to try and address them. And that's exactly what's going on now. Local government is partnering with the state of Maryland to come up with estimates to address all of the sources.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're talking about this, you're trying to develop this between the state and local governments. Why does the price tag then, Alan, become such a surprise to the local government? If they're involved with this, how does that square between, say, for instance, Dorchester County saying, geez, this is going to cost us a lot of money, we didn't realize it, mm-hmm. and yet there was supposed to be some kind of coordination between the two. What about that?
I think the surprise has come, I've been with the Bay Foundation 13 years now. 10 years ago, these issues related to, you know, septic systems and stormwater management weren't even on the table. You know, Chip's been, you know, working for local governments on the shore for a lot longer than I've been working for the foundation, and he can vouch and say, you know, it just hasn't been on their radar. We now have the EPA saying, hey, look, you got to get on your game here. We got to address this issue. We got to get everything implemented by 2025, make progress in 2-year increments. And so it's on people's radar now. You know, these estimates are just that. They're estimates. We work with Talbot County, among a number of other Eastern Shore delegations, counties. In Talbot County, there was an estimate to look at the septic and stormwater runoff issue, coming in around $500 million to address it. It was an estimate. The planning office made it clear to the county council that it is an estimate. The Bay Foundation and others worked with the council and county staff and the Nature Conservancy and some other partners to use science to help better refine the estimate so that we can design practices that are effective, reduce costs, and come up with a better bang for pollution. That $500 million estimate is now reduced to 10. And this is the kind of innovation that these counties are experiencing.
Don, if I can talk a little bit about the EPA's authority, which we don't question, and let me make a few comments. As Alan mentioned, we've been at this job of cleaning the bay and saving the bay since the 70s and 80s. The sad fact is the water quality of the bay today is no better. In fact, it's worse than it was back then.
That's not true.
And yet Maryland has spent billions of dollars trying to do this. Now, there might be little successes here and there where we can prove water quality improvement, but the overall health of the bay is worse today than it ever was. And here's a reason why. A lot of what we're doing is based on models. The pollution diet that EPA has put into place after litigation by the Chesapeake Bay Foundation is a model, okay? In that model, here's what they say about the Conowingo: that the Conowingo Dam and Reservoir will not fill until the year 2025. We have a scientific study that said it was full in August of 2012. The TMDL model says that in order for it to work, the pollution diet to be correct, 55% of the phosphorus and sediment coming down the Susquehanna has to be trapped in those reservoirs. That's not happening anymore. The scientists say those reservoirs are 88% full. So the model, the pollution diet, is flawed. Nobody can, people can try to pretend it's not, it's flawed. So everything we're doing under the EPA's diet that's now being pushed down through the local whips and the local governments, you can't say it's correct. And if it's not right, and we're going to, and yet we're being told we got to spend all this money to meet these goals, the question is it making a difference? Okay? And let me give you an example. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars improving wastewater treatment plants. So what? Less pollution comes out of the pipe. No question, if you spend $10 million extra dollars to take a wastewater treatment plant from BNR to ENR, which is the highest state-of-the-art pollution reduction, you will prove less pollution is coming out of the pipe. But here's the question. Has that improvement in expenditure improved the overall water quality of the Chesapeake Bay? Okay, the town of Elkton spent a great deal of money upgrading their wastewater treatment plant a few years ago. But when you look at the amount of pollution that flies down the Susquehanna after a large storm event, you have to say, wow, was that wasted? Did that big expenditure actually overall improve the water quality of the bay? And that's the problem. That's what these county governments are saying. Let's step back and ask, are we really making a meaningful difference in the water quality of the bay with all the money we're being asked to spend?
Okay, well, let's go to the, because I didn't ask you. So, Alan, what about the role of the Conowingo Dam, not only in terms projected-wise, because we do have a sediment issue, as well as its record in the past, in terms of, for instance, Chip talks about the pollution, particularly after a major storm. What about that argument that he's making in terms of the role that the Conowingo Bay, or rather dam, is playing in this pollution issue?
I think we both absolutely agree that the pollution associated with the Conowingo Dam needs to be addressed. It's important to clarify that the dam itself is not a source of pollution. The pollution is coming from Pennsylvania. Some of the pollution is trapped behind the dam in the form of sediments and phosphorus that's attached to sediment particles. The dam does nothing to trap nitrogen pollution, which is one of the bay's biggest pollution sources. Nitrogen, flows with water. So the water makes its way over the dam every day. We get nitrogen pollution in the day that's coming over the dam that's causing dead zones in the bay in the summer, as we've had for many years. So the dam is doing nothing to treat nitrogen. The challenge here is to ensure that we're addressing pollution at the source. And that's what the federal-state partnership, with government, citizens, and businesses is doing. It's looking at all of the sources of pollution throughout the Bay watershed in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, West Virginia, and New York, and it's saying let's deal with pollution at its source and make sure all of the sources.
And here's the
are
sad
addressed.
Reality of that. I got to. This is a very important for everybody in Maryland and your listeners. Just on that point, if the way we're going to save the bay is to hit sources, meaning keep pollution from getting in the water, then everybody better pay attention to what's happening in Pennsylvania, which is nothing. When you compare the activity to reduce pollution going into the waterways in Pennsylvania compared to what's being done in Maryland and being spent in Maryland below the dam, there is absolutely no comparison. And the bay will never make it if we have to sit around and wait for Pennsylvania to get their act together. What's out of whack with what we're doing is while all this pressure is being pushed down on local governments and local taxpayers to keep trying to clean the bay, no pressure is being put on by the state of Maryland, its neighborhood states above the dam. I mean, we spend billions of dollars dredging shipping channels in the upper bay to keep the port of Baltimore viable. Why aren't we spending the money above the dam to dredge the dam instead of chasing it all around the bay? Minimization of the problem of the Susquehanna River pollution doesn't do service to really mean meaningfully trying to save the Chesapeake Bay. Pennsylvania's doing nothing compared to what we're doing.
Let Alan respond and the issue, because I thought, when the EPA, by the way, it gets involved, right? Because initially we're talking about, well, the individual states will try to get their act together and so on. Then the feds came in and said, hey, wait a minute, You guys on your own, it's not working. Right. Okay, so to you, Alan, what about the role of Pennsylvania and what it's doing and prospectively going forward? Is the federal government going to be putting the kind of pressure that one would expect the feds to put on the water state, the watershed states that they didn't have in the past?
The data suggests that pollution that's coming to the Susquehanna River and making its way over the dam is being reduced. In other words, pollution sources in Pennsylvania are being managed to produce better water quality in the Susquehanna River. That's what the science says.
So on that
the
point,
science also says, and this is verified, you know, yes, in Maryland there has been significant investment. And you brought up, Chip brought up wastewater treatment plants earlier. Under the early administration in 2004, what's known as the flush tax or the flush fee was adopted. That single action that, you know, at that time required $2.50 to be put on every, you know, wastewater treatment bill in the state, generated close to $1 billion, is responsible for reducing about 50% of Maryland's wastewater treatment load. You know, and that is a major improvement in bay restoration that's comes from a single, you know, policy action that's making a difference.
But does, is that
the fee was just
Alan,
doubled last spring, and now we are on track to, by 2017, to actually have our wastewater treatment sector addressed in Maryland. About 85% of Maryland's wastewater goes through these plants that will be upgraded to perform very well for bay restoration.
So that's a number on paper. So on paper, we can say we spent all this money, and yes, less pollution is coming out of some wastewater treatment plant pipes, but what is the overall health of the Chesapeake Bay? Where are the oysters and the SAV? The two best filters, the cheapest filters for the Chesapeake Bay, are oysters and submerged aquatic vegetation. They have been decimated in the upper bay because of sedimentation. Okay, we hear about over-harvesting and disease and freshwater. It's all about sedimentation and how much more sediment we're getting from the Susquehanna because the reservoirs are full. So they want to force us to do wastewater treatment plant upgrades. You know, healthy oyster bars can do better cleaning of the water than wastewater treatment plants. That's proven. And yet we have no coherent strategy to really save the oyster because there's so much issue with sedimentation in the upper bay. And again, when we hear pollution reduction, here's the question you should ask. How much pollution reduction? Okay? I've heard recently stormwater is the fastest growing source of pollution in the bay, so we can regulate stormwater. What does that really mean, the fastest growing pollution source? And when somebody says in Pennsylvania they've reduced pollution, get this. Compare the Conestoga River, just above the Conowingo Dam in Pennsylvania, and the Choptank River. They say the Choptank River is one of the most polluted rivers on the eastern shore. We'll give them that, okay? It's an impaired river, the Choptank. But compare it to the Conestoga, 350% more nitrogen and phosphorus is in the Conestoga River than in the Choptank River. And get this, 800% more suspended sediments in the Conestoga River than the Choptank River. So when you hear somebody say in Pennsylvania they've reduced some pollution, how much? Everything's relative. I mean, Pennsylvania has a long way to go to get to what we've done. And that's the problem. Water flows downhill, and we can keep doing all this stuff and spending taxpayers' money, but the Chesapeake Bay is not getting better because we're not really seriously tackling what's happening above the dam. And if we don't get that reservoir dredged to give some trapping capacity back, the bay does not stand a chance. And we can spend a lot of taxpayer money, but it's not going to overall health of the bay. You can't do it without tackling what's happening above that dam.
Alan?
I'm glad you brought up the chop tank because it reminded me of a very important point. I don't know where you get it. The science shows that water quality is improving in the bay.
The grasses can't survive. The oysters can't survive.
We are looking at measured reductions in nitrogen phosphorus pollution. The science shows that there has been reductions in those sources of pollution that are resulting in improved water quality. There's no question that there's more needs to be done. I mean, we are a couple years into getting this plan forward, and we need to get there. The science also shows in the Choptank River, in the Nanticoke River, in the Wicomico River, in the rivers that drain to Eastern Bay in the Midshore. Wicomico Creek Watchers, Nanticoke Creek Watchers, the Midshore Riverkeeper Conservancy deals with volunteers. There's data that comes out of Maryland Department of Natural Resources monitoring stations in each of those waterways and throughout the bay that indicate clearly that pollution is worse the farther you go upstream. So as you're headed up the Choptank River, you know, past East Newmarket and up to Denton, you can see that the science shows pollution is worse up in the headwaters of those waterways. The Conowingo Dam and the Susquehanna River and the pollution that comes from Pennsylvania is not affecting, not the cause of those high levels of pollution in the headwaters of these streams. It is irresponsible to say that, well, let's just look at the dam and forget about our responsibility to address the source of pollution that is in the headwaters of these rivers.
Well, it might be, but that's not what the coalition is saying. And that's a mischaracterization that I'll say for the record. This coalition and the counties, local governments we represent, are not saying this is an either-or proposition. They'll do everything they possibly can to improve the water quality of Chesapeake Bay, but this is about prioritizing. The agenda that's been forced down Maryland taxpayers is very expensive, and it's going to yield very little benefit to improving overall water quality. And it's about prioritization. And it's easy to say we just want to sit on our hands and do nothing, and nothing could be further from the truth. If you look closely at the counties we represent, some of them have the most strict zoning laws, okay? Some so strict they got exempt from the state's tier mapping for septics because they did a better job. I mean, local governments know. I mean, Kent County is known as one of the greenest counties in the state. Dorchester County. These counties know about the importance of the environment. To suggest that we need bureaucrats to tell them how to better do it, it doesn't make sense. The number one source of pollution to the bay is the Susquehanna River. 50% of the pollution and more comes from there. That's been admitted by the Secretary of the Environment. And the state's WHIP, $14.5 billion of taxpayer money that's been committed to the year 2025, not a penny of that is going to go to address the reservoir, the spoils and the sediments that are accumulated above the Conowingo Dam. And every time there's a storm, what's scoured out of that dam that comes down and prevents oysters from surviving. I mean, look at the oyster, what's happened with oysters recently. We've heard all this great news of how oysters are making a comeback and the biggest harvest, okay? Look closely at what happened. Where the state allowed power dredging, where the state allowed watermen to actually go and work the natural oyster bars, fluff them up, bring them to the surface, lo and behold, they're catching oysters like crazy, okay? Look near the Choptank River. Oysters are actually very healthy near there. So there's this disconnect about what we're really doing to help the bay. If we can get a lot of oysters coming back naturally by letting watermen go out and power dredge, then why on earth does the state of Maryland and the Bay Foundation oppose watermen going above the Chesapeake Bay to work the natural oyster beds? Why wouldn't you give oysters a fighting chance in the upper bay to naturally start filtering?
Let me give Alan a chance.
There is no science that says that power dredging is going to improve oyster productivity. There's no science that shows that spat says improves, and there is science that says that the ecology of the surrounding area is damaged. I want to get to your earlier point, Chip, about local governments are saying that they are supportive of the process and want to do something. I'm looking at your website. Here's what it says. We want to allow farmers greater flexibility. We want to focus on plant wastewater treatment plant modernization before we have up across the board upgrades to these plants. We want to reconsider tier mapping. This is septic management throughout the state due to its adverse impacts on rural counties. Do not require local governments to fund stormwater retrofits. I want to know specifically what the counties that are members of the coalition, there are seven counties that are coalition members. There are 23 counties in Maryland. The Maryland Association of Counties, which represents them all, does not directly support the interest of the coalition. What are the things that the counties that are part of the coalition agree to do?
It's a great question. Let me just point out one thing Alan just did. This shows you how politicized the Bay cleanup has become. So here's a coalition of seven counties that are looking out for taxpayers, saying we want to make sure with the limited money we have. Remember, this started with Dorchester County that had one of the highest unemployment rates at the time in a tough economy, busy trying to fund public schools, trying to meet maintenance of
what are the counties going to do?
Let me finish. So this is what they do to marginalize this debate. Oh, you're only seven counties and MACO doesn't agree. Well, we don't care what the Maryland Association of Counties thinks. If they haven't looked closely and read the science that we have to form good arguments, okay, I don't care about what the Maryland Association of Counties are doing. And we shouldn't be judged on how few counties are part of this coalition to somehow marginalize the message. Our facts are deafening, and they can keep trying to strike the messenger or downplay the message. But I'm going to give you an example about wastewater treatment plants and what we should be focused on. Baltimore City, do a little research on how much raw sewage has been dumped in the Jones Falls Expressway or Inner Harbor from failing infrastructure in Baltimore City. Okay? The second largest source of pollution into the bay is probably the infrastructure in Baltimore City, totally ignored. So the Conowingo Reservoir Susquehanna issue, they don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about the failed infrastructure in Baltimore City where raw sewage is spilling into the waterways. But let's go into Allegheny County and tell them they better start regulating a septic tank on Sidling Mountain, because that's going to save the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, we have gotten so down in the weeds. Now we're just justifying what this whole thing we've created, and we've lost sight of the big picture. This satellite image, I know your listeners can't see it, this tells it all. We got a big problem in the Chesapeake Bay, and what's happening at the Conowingo is a great way to talk about, have this debate. It's long overdue. How much we've gotten down in the weeds.
30 seconds, Alan.
You know, we've had a lot of rain recently. In my bathroom, when we bought our house 5 years ago, we experienced just a little bit of leaking. You know, it's not going to be a big problem. Nowadays, now I'm realizing it's going to be $2,500 to fix it. You know, if I had addressed it then, I prioritized some other things. Look, I'm going to look at my plumbing. It's cheaper to fix. Now I have a bigger problem to address. We need to make sure that we are addressing all of the sources of pollution, and we can't leave any off the table.
Okay, and I got to stop it right there. I'm sure this debate will continue to go on, Chip. And Chip McLeod, he's with Funken and Bolton, also represents a coalition of counties who are obviously seriously have questions about the pollution diet and obviously issues with the Conowingo Dam. Also, Alan Gerard, he's the Eastern Shore Director of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. And this has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
Delmarva Today is a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Don Rush is the host. Chris Rank is the executive producer and audio engineer. You can listen to this program again on our website, delmarvapublicradio.net. You can also view our program on PAC-14 television and on demand. Visit PAC14.org for full details and schedules.